let's give a cheer. It's 9 a.m., the signal's clear. Our favorite host is in the chair. The Truman Show is on the air.
It's the Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County.
The Truman Show is on the air. The Truman Show is on the air.
Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good morning, Rutherford County.
And it is a good morning in Rutherford County. In fact, it is an excellent morning in Rutherford County. Patsy Armstrong Henson, the last time that we talked to her, when Billy was performing, and she was talking about her famous banana pudding.
She has a ministry.
She really does. Ministry. And this morning, unbeknownst to us, there is a great big dish of banana pudding that we've already eaten half of it already. I've gained 10 pounds, but it's the best 10 pounds I ever put on in my life. And thank you, Patsy.
You're very welcome.
What time did you get up to do this for us?
Well, I kind of sort of got up at 5:30 this morning, so in case I made a mistake.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't, so it went well.
All right. I am rating it the highest you can get is a 10.
Right.
I'm rating it a 10 plus.
Bless your heart.
10 plus.
Thank you so much.
Okay, Dan Whittle says a 10 plus.
Thank you.
And
10 plus.
All right.
Absolutely.
Ron Fryer says it's a 10 plus. So we are absolutely walking in heaven right now.
I think that's so wonderful because I do things like this that makes me feel good. I don't know if that's selfish or not, but it makes my heart feel good.
It makes my stomach feel good.
It was the dish I got was just a little bit painful because as I reached in to get the banana pudding, Dan was going after his third helping and hit me in the back of the hand with a fork.
Well, that's so sad. Yeah, it that hurts me to know that he would do something like that. I didn't realize he was that way.
Oh, when you get around food, pull all your digits back in.
We don't want to overwork you or anything, Patsy, but anytime
any
in the
Friday.
Next 365 days that you want to do that,
okay.
just make it sooner than later, though.
Okay. I can do that. You just name, you know, the coconut cake, the jam cake.
Mm-hmm.
Fridays.
And the cost, you know, don't y'all worry about that. You know, that $25, $35 per dessert is
hey,
not bad.
Hey, believe me. For what we ate this morning,
it's
well worth it.
Yeah, Friday.
I think it's the best banana pudding I've ever eaten in my life.
It is in mine, and Fridays is the best day to do these things.
I'm going to float out of here.
That's not
just
a problem. I'll be glad
float.
To trade Dan's weekly wage to pay for that.
Bless your heart. Y'all are so precious.
You know what would be nice, Patsy?
What, honey?
We're going to have our class of 59 a week from Saturday, a week
mm-hmm.
from tomorrow.
That's right.
And if you could cook up a big bowl for the whole class, wouldn't that be super nice?
Well,
wouldn't your heart really feel good?
My
heart
would feel so good, but my back and my legs, I wouldn't make it to the reunion.
It sure would make it special. I tell you what, you've made my day. You made my week this morning.
I'm glad. Y'all have made my day, too.
Yeah. Always good to see you,
Thank
hun.
You. Y'all have a good day.
Yeah. It has been a good day, guys.
Hey,
here, we were
going
to sit around, and Hooper Pendule didn't get up and say anything. But we've got a different show on this morning. We're going to be talking about something having to do with, is this the, where we're going to talk about the people who have won awards for, is it broadcasting or is it the newspapers,
it's the
how
Tennessee
is it done?
Journalism Hall of Fame. It's the total package of media. It includes broadcasting because we're all we're comprehensive. It includes newspaper. It includes PR. It includes TV, electronic, and all of the above. But it's the most outstanding media people in the history of the state of Tennessee, and they're finally getting recognized. And we're doing it next. Tennessee Journalism Hall of Fame is inducting our second class next Tuesday.
Are we going to be allowed to broadcast the names?
Yes, we are.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, that's one thing I find very interesting, and I'll look at you right now, Ron, so with that big smile on your face this morning. Everybody has somebody in mind that's lived in this state for a number of years that they've really been fond of, and they felt like that they're the type of person they could trust to bring the word to them more accurately than anybody else.
I remember.
How do you deal with that?
I remember. It's interesting you say that, Truman, because as a youngster growing up in East Ridge outside of Chattanooga, my dad delivered the paper for the Chattanooga News Free Press for 30-something years. He was a postman letter carrier for most of his career. And after he came back from the South Pacific in 45, he went back to work for Western Union and then went to the post office and then got the second job with the intention of sending my brother and I on further with education and college and so forth. So, but we always grew up with Walter Cronkite, yes. Huntley and Brinkley, Frank Reynolds, the stalwarts of the industry that you look back at today and wonder who has the integrity today that was there then.
Integrity and the courage.
And the courage. And and that's kind of what the Hall of Fame is with what we've been able to put together. It started about 5 years ago with Hooper and Dan talking across, kind of like
out in the backyard.
Kind of like Home Improvement, if you remember, when Tim Allen would talk to his neighbor across the fence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was kind of like what they were doing.
I couldn't hardly see all of Dan, but I could see the top
of his head,
the nose up.
Yeah, and that wonderful glare.
Yeah, and the shine. I had to put sunglasses.
Yeah, and they contacted me and. I was president of the Tennessee Press Association Foundation at that time, which paid for and oversaw the Tennessee Newspaper Journalism Hall of Fame. And it was the only one in the state at that time, the Newspaper Hall of Fame, that existed. And it's been in existence probably for half a century. But one of the criteria that they established when they opened it and started it was that to become eligible to be selected or nominated and selected for the Tennessee Newspaper Hall of Fame, you had to be dead 5 years. So there was really nobody lining up wanting to participate.
Yeah,
so it was always, we couldn't really get that change. And so the concept came that we would just open it wide up and host it here in Murfreesboro, which is the center of the state. And it would include all aspects of the press and the media, the new media, mature press. And all I can tell you last year was the inaugural class had some heavyweights in it. You had John Siegenthaler. You had Dan Miller. Had Chris Clark and Holt. And this year's got heavyweights in it as well. Some maybe not as well known as others, but for me, like Luther Massengale is a radio broadcaster who is the only person alive today that broadcast both the attack at Pearl Harbor and the attack on the World Trade Center. Well, that's how long his
and
he's still active on WDEF in Chattanooga. Yes.
Yeah.
So it was interesting with the John Siegenthaler, I think, that most people recognize with the Tennessean and his work with the Kennedy administration and Robert Kennedy, the Attorney General in civil rights. And he was the publisher at the time when Jerry Thompson infiltrated the Klan, and they did a lot of Enterprise pieces, and a very well-known activist journalist. And he said as he was accepting his induction last year that this is the greatest honor that I've ever had bestowed upon me. And this is from a man who is known worldwide.
Yeah.
And then he just passed away a month ago.
Yeah.
So what we wanted to do was recognize both those who are no longer with us, but more importantly, those that are, that they can feel the accolades and their family can be there with them to accept something that they've earned while they were living and not have to wait until they're deceased to be recognized.
What type of attributes are needed for each particular person that is awarded this? It's really it's a very nice award. I mean, when you're talking about when you're honored for your career work, there's nothing more valuable than that.
That's right.
And NTSU has really backed this too. We're located there. We're independent.
Is he answering for you?
I see
your mouth is not moving.
No.
But I'm hearing it on the other side.
Well, you know, we always have to have those injections of commercials and recognition. It's kind of like broadcasting NASCAR, you know. We're really proud of the Sunoco Chevy today.
Oh,
you understand how.
Yeah.
What that means, Truman, let me inject just a few things in here before I get lost. But first, I want to say hello to my granddaughter, Ava Grace Matthews.
That's the
who
most
is
important
listening
thing.
To the
yes.
radio show today.
Mm-hmm.
She and I are having fun this last weekend with her grandmother, and we're taking care of business. But anyway, the Journalism Hall of Fame is we recognize individuals who have demonstrated outstanding skill in their journalistic field, radio, TV, newspaper, broadcast, new media, just like y'all said a minute ago. Whatever the field is,
I see TV getting 3 out of 4.
We want to recognize, but we feel like that there was a need to do this and to establish this organization. It's a fledgling organization with this particular venue that we're doing next Tuesday. We're working with the Tennessee Association of Broadcasters, TAB, which is sort of falls in line with the journalism field. And it's a marriage. It's a good marriage, I think. But I think primarily one of the interests that we had was to establish at a location highly recognized for their mass communication departments.
Yeah.
And that would be Middle Tennessee State University.
Sure.
A lot of people don't recognize that, but it is. It's one of the best
nationwide
mass communication universities in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it's led by Ken Paulson, who has helped found the USA Today. He was the editor of USA Today. He's with the Freedom Foundation, and has more. He's an attorney. He has more attributes than you can just list in this short time here. So we feel like that we've got a good thing going. We've got their support. This is where the Hall of Fame is housed, out at MTSU. Primarily, the new students that are coming along can observe and reflect back and witness and read about their peers that have come along before them, and it gives them something to shoot for. So that's primarily what this is all about, Truman.
I find it interesting that, except for John Siegenthaler, you have the TV personalities.
Sure.
Which you're looking at different attributes, I guess, from each individual.
Right.
And then many of us, my age,
sure,
we can remember all the way back when the newspapers were the major carriers of what was going on at the time. So those people are constantly in our face, and you get to see what they're capable of doing and how comfortable you can be with them.
That's exactly
and,
right.
And to me, do they have a slight advantage over Ron and I and Dan especially? We remember Fred Russell, Raymond Johnson, the people that we really did have a lot of respect. Never heard them criticize anything. They're always promoting the good things.
But you know, you have to take into account that these people that are inducted are nominated by someone.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, I think Ron's catching it.
Well, yeah.
They're not getting nominated back because nobody remembers
them. Well, some of them don't remember them. When
you take a look at it, in Siegenthaler's inducting class last year, there were three newspaper journalists and three broadcasters. Mm-hmm. So there were six that went in. Bill Williams with the Paris Post-Intelligencer was a third-generation publisher journalist out of West Tennessee, and his son Michael was president of the Tennessee Press Association the year that we brought him in. Mm-hmm. This year we have Sam Venable, who is a columnist for the Knoxville News Sentinel in East Tennessee. And we've looked, last year it was pretty well overloaded with Middle Tennessee, and this is a statewide. Mm-hmm. So this year we've looked at going east and west a little bit more, mm-hmm, to bring them in to balance things out. Next year, we'll take a look at doing some things posthumously, mm-hmm, with individuals like the Fred Russells and the others that are recognized, the Grantland Rices.
Oh, yeah,
this year, we have Sam Venable and we have Alex Jones. Mm-hmm. And Alex Jones is a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter for the New York Times, who's now an author, and he's out of East Tennessee, out of Greenville. Mm-hmm. And the Jones family that's multi-generations in the newspaper business. So, mm-hmm, we've looked at individuals such as Alfred Ox, who bought the Chattanooga Times, and after he bought the Chattanooga Times at the turn of the 20th century, ended up buying the New York Times with the money he made off the Chattanooga Times, and ran it for years and years and years. Part of the qualifications are that you either have made major contributions worthy of being recognized as a Hall of Famer, just like Ted Williams batting 400, mm-hmm, in the last one and so forth, but either in the state, you don't have to be a Tennessee native. You can come from outside in and make your contributions in the state, or you can be a Tennessee native who's gone other places, mm-hmm, and made your contributions to journalism. Mentioned the mass communications department at MTSU. There's 2,400 students in the mass comm, the College of Mass Communications. 700 of those are journalism majors. Mm-hmm. So it is still, regardless of what the polls say as the value of an education, to me, being articulate, being able to listen, being able to write, to conjugate, to speak is extremely important in today's society as much, mm-hmm, as ever before. Mm-hmm. And so journalism is very much a honorable profession, mm-hmm, but it's not a high-paying profession.
Yeah,
never has been.
What a heavyweight Alex Jones is, the Jones Media Empire up in East Tennessee. Alex Jones is bringing more than 100 fans to the induction ceremony next week from throughout of America, and most of these are journalism heavyweights. That's how recognized he is in American journalism.
That was the last count we had. That was the day before yesterday.
Yeah.
No telling what it will be by next Tuesday.
So the final results are not in yet.
No, the results are not in as to who's coming.
Mm-hmm. We have another inductee named Otis Stanford, who is a big, big name in West Tennessee with the Commercial Appeal,
right,
as editor and a journalist there. And if you go back and you look at the history, we can come up with a little bit of everybody, you know, and what we want to do. That's what we want to do. Demetria Kalademus will be the MC, mm-hmm, at the ceremonies. It'll be the kickoff for the Tennessee Association of Broadcasters annual meeting being held here in
Murfreesboro. Right here, Embassy Suites.
Mm-hmm. The Embassy Suites. We're very, very proud that the work of Roy Moore, who was the dean at that time at MassCom at MTSU, and Larry Burris, who's the president of this group, Dan and Hooper, Mayor Tommy Bragg, and we have a host of a lot of people that, mm-hmm, have been involved with this, and I've been very fortunate to have worked with them as a consultant in what we do and how we put this together, to be able to make something happen. But we've taken our time to do it right. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you get off course and you run before you can really walk. And we're not doing that. And Hooper very appropriately called it fledgling as we get started, but it's very impressive as a fledgling organization. And we're proud to have been a catalyst for the creation of the Tennessee Radio Broadcasters Hall of Fame that Bart Walker started a couple of years ago, because he was involved with us 4 years ago, 5 years ago, as we started and learned as we were going and saw the need for the radio broadcasters to have their own recognition with the Hall of Fame. So now then we've got a newspaper Hall of Fame in Knoxville, and we've got a Radio Broadcasters Hall of Fame, and this one we hope will become the granddaddy of them all and be an all-inclusive journalism Hall of Fame. And it doesn't have to be just in news gathering. It could be in public relations, advertising. It could be in administrative.
Talk show host?
Legitimate talk show,
and let it die.
But yeah, it would include that. Like again, I go back to Luther Massengale. I mean, I remember being in the, and I'm 63. So when I talk about being six, seven, 8 years old in Chattanooga, and he's on the radio, and my mother has the radio on every morning to find out what's going on with school and what's happening, and he's the name in Chattanooga for radio, and he's still almost 70 years he's been on the air on either TV or radio in Chattanooga, and still is
rocking at 96.
And it's just these guys got to be recognized. Men and women have to be recognized while they're alive.
And you know too, we're sort of playing catch up because we got started in this late, and there's a lot of people out there that come along before us that are worthy of this award.
And they'll never be there.
And it takes time to do it. You can't induct 20 in a single session.
The competition is kind of unfair. It takes time
to recognize, and that's the reason we're keeping it low, six, eight maybe, and that runs into a couple of hours. So that's what we're hoping to continue this on, and maybe it'll jump from once a year to twice a year.
Well, nothing is perfect. Of course, when you've got such a wide variety of people that are involved,
we're learning as we go.
Newspapers from the beginning of this country on up into the mid 1900s. Sure. They were king.
It was just,
I don't know, in my own mind, I would envision what they were saying. Yeah. It was stronger to
me
than watching television. I also grew up listening to the radio, and I would listen to the radio, and then again, my imagination would be triggered, and then I would be able to follow what they're doing. Now, if I'm watching television, and I'm not going to down anybody, I enjoy all of it, but when you're watching television, it's almost like I'm watching a play. I'm watching actors who are telling me things that are going on, and you read you listen to the voice inflections, you see how their face would get real serious. Sometimes it gets real serious when it shouldn't real serious. But I think the competition level is so different. I could see, and I think what you're doing is really a good thing, and it's almost perfect, except for the fact that I grew up with Dave Overton. And
those people in Nashville, that's right.
I grew up with them because they're the ones that are in my mind outside of the newspapers. I wish the newspapers Judd Collins had his noon show.
That's right.
I go back to the newspapers, and I remember them very fondly. Mm-hmm. Reading them was something special. I can still see my daddy reading the banner. He always took the banner. He liked the banner more.
Growing up, again, in Chattanooga, we were two newspaper family. We took the Times in the morning, and, of course, Dad delivered the Free Press in the afternoon. And we've gone through this on the show before about two newspaper towns. One was a Democrat publication, the other was a Republican publication, and it all depended on how it worked. But I remember as a kid playing Little League Baseball, going to the Free Press because they covered so much sports in Chattanooga, and looking in the East Ridge leagues and cutting out like a one column by half an inch battery where I was a catcher and it had my initial and last name and the picture, and cut it out and tape it on my mirror. So newspapers are the mature industry. Right. You know, Benjamin Franklin, the Gutenberg Press started it all. Benjamin Franklin had a newspaper. He's the first postmaster. Mm-hmm. All this happened. Television is not 100 years old. Radio is just barely over 100 years old.
Yeah.
So they're new media.
Yeah.
And there's the press. Mm-hmm. And I'm like you. I still prefer to hold it and read it, although I'm all over the Internet and everything else.
And I do not like the Internet.
Yeah.
I think that there's just something comfortable about holding a newspaper in your hands. If you have competent journalists who are reflecting the news or what's going on.
You and I are from the old generation.
Yes, yes, we are. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with this type of gang. I don't know what they are.
A gang of three.
Yeah.
The Outpost Armory is not just another gun store. Our staff has hands-on knowledge and experience with firearms, self-defense training, hunting, and competitive shooting. We cater to the new gun owner and the expert looking for that hard-to-find product. We carry items that the big chain stores don't and have bulk ammunition for the high-volume shooter. We defend the Second Amendment and help responsible citizens protect their families, rights, and liberties. Visit us in person or online at theoutpostarmory.com. The Outpost Armory, I-24 East at Exit 89 in Murfreesboro.
Slick Pig Barbecue. Down on East Main, there's pork, beef, chicken, and wings. Sauce too good to be true.
Now at Slick Pig Barbecue, try the catfish special. Wednesday night between 4 and 8 o'clock. $9.99 plus tax for all-you-can-eat catfish. The meal includes hush puppies, white beans, and homemade coleslaw.
Slick Pig Barbecue, 1920 East Main.
Your voice, your vote. This is election coverage from WGNS. Now, here's Brian Barrett.
The race between 4th District Congressman Scott Desjarlais and challenger Jim Tracy is as close as a race can be. With all the precincts reporting, the unofficial tally reported to the state from the district showed Desjarlais 35 votes ahead of Tracy. That's right, 35 votes. 34,787 for Desjarlais, 34,752 for Tracy. Just after 10 p.m. last night from his headquarters at Embassy Suites in Murfreesboro, Tracy declared victory.
We did it!
Tracy thanked his many supporters and those who helped him during his campaign, which started in 2012, just 2 months after Desjarlais defeated Lincoln Davis.
One person doesn't win a campaign. It takes all of us working together, and together we won tonight.
Tracy, a local state senator, made the speech while leading with just a few precincts in the district out, but late numbers from Grundy County near Desjarlais' home in South Pittsburgh gave the incumbent the 35-vote lead. Tennessee doesn't have an automatic recount law, but a candidate can request the state recount votes. We'll continue to follow this story. Check it out, WGNSradio.com. Tracy's full speech from Embassy Suites is there as well. A fierce battle for the GOP nomination for U.S. Senate between Lamar Alexander and Joe Carr of Las Casas, won by the incumbent, Alexander defeating Carr, 50% to 41%. Complete vote 2014 election coverage at WGNSradio.com.
Brought to you by Kester Chiropractic and Acupuncture Center on Broad across from Chevrolet in Murfreesboro.
At our office, one of our number one goals is to get you better faster and keep you better longer. For a free consultation, give me a call at 895-1253.
When you and your family members need assistance for a day, a week, or indefinitely, At Home Care is ready to sit down with you and help you devise a practical plan to meet your family's needs.
Hi, I'm Laura Kendrick. I'm the finance manager here. One of the most rewarding things about my job is I get to be in contact with the home care aides that we have. They have a real heart for our clients.
Everybody needs a little help now and then, and At Home Care is here to help.
Hi, I'm Carolyn Tuning. I'm the HR manager at Home Care. We at Home Care want to hire the best health care aides for those who really want to stay in their homes. We want people who care and go over, above and beyond. We do background checks to make sure that we do have the best. We stress that it's a heart that matters and that the people depend on them for their needs. Some of our clients have no one else and may be their only contact for the day.
Find out more at homecaretn.com or by calling 713-4639.
WeatherEye.
A few scattered showers and storms here this afternoon with cloudy skies, a high into the mid-80s, and southwest winds between 5 and 10 miles per hour. I'm WGNS meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Right now, 79.
Premier Six Theater on Broad and Jackson Heights, showing all of your favorite movies. Call their hotline, 896-4100, or go see a movie.com. Popcorn pop fresh daily. Their movie hotline, 896-4100, or go see a movie.com. Premier Six on Broad and Jackson Heights.
The Truman Show on FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. We're Rutherford County's place to talk.
And welcome back with us. We have Ron Pryor, Cooper Pinuel, and what is that guy's name right there? It's something having to do with a little knife. Dan Whittle.
Devious Dan.
Dainty.
And we want to, speaking of Dan, we want to mention Middle Tennessee Ear, Nose, and Throat. 7 out of 10 Americans suffer a hearing loss after the age of 50. Now, there is a way to restore your hearing. And you need to give Middle Tennessee Ear, Nose, and Throat a call today. Middle Tennessee Ear, Nose, and Throat has been Rutherford County's trusted provider of taking care of all the coughing, sneezing, stuffed-up feelings for almost two decades. Their team of caring physicians, audiologists, nurses, and administrators are standing ready for you and your family so you can improve your style of healthy living. They also have a mobile hearing unit that will actually come to your home, diagnose, and fit you with a hearing device right in the comfort of your living room.
Huh?
Call Middle Tennessee Ear, Nose, and Throat today at 848-9265. That's 848-9265. All right. Now, what are we... Let's see. Where do we leave off on the discussion? There's so much uproar in here. It's hard to keep focused.
Well, I was just saying that with the Middle Tennessee Ear, Nose, and Throat commercial you just read, I wondered if they could be of any benefit to me in helping Dan be able to listen and follow instructions.
There is nothing on God's earth that can help you with that. Not one thing. In fact, the error was made once you initiated that particular individual into the newspaper business. And I think part of that has to fall on your shoulders.
Well, I take full accountability and responsibility for it. You know, the captain of the ship.
It goes back to when I was public affairs officer for the National Guard, and Dan went with us on a trip.
Mm-hmm.
Probably heard this story before.
Six or 700 times.
Following directions is one of the things that Dan just. Flak jackets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep it. Keep it under your control. Flying in a arm zone, in a hot zone. He ended up with two flak jackets. One that came from a gal from WSM-TV.
Who's no longer with us, I don't think.
No longer with us, I think. And then also,
unfortunately.
His. The loadmaster says, I think we're missing a flak jacket.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan says, looks around and they look at him and he's sitting on one too.
Mm.
Dan says, you know, the Serbs.
He's sitting on his flak jacket?
He's got one on. And hers, he's sitting on hers.
Oh, my goodness.
There's a logical explanation for this.
I doubt it, but go ahead.
Yeah, the Serbs were shooting at the airplanes.
Yeah.
They don't have an air force. They were shooting from the ground.
Yeah.
I was trying to preserve the family jewels.
Mm-hmm. Well, are we talking about diamonds and rubies and things like that?
Exactly.
That's right.
That follows along with the conversation we had about following directions.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Anyway, it carries over, way over. So, anyway, we were talking about the Tennessee Journalism Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and we haven't gotten to the individuals yet that are the new members?
Well, we haven't, but we can certainly get to them if you would like us.
Yeah,
because
I'd love to hear who they are.
Well, I just happen to have them right here somewhere in my list of things that I brought in here to talk about. Joe Birch is co-anchor of WMV-TV Action and News 5 in Memphis, Tennessee.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He's got 35 years with that organization.
Oh, bless his heart. That's
I won't
a
get
record,
into
isn't?
All of this, yeah. But he's an Emmy Award-winning journalist, recognized for his community work, supports the community. Bob Johnson, co-anchor of WTVC-TV News in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Did he play center for the
he's
Tennessee
He's a veteran.
Bronx?
I'm not sure. I don't think he played football, but he ended up going to Moscow during a summit between Ronald Reagan and Mikhail Gorbachev.
Wow.
And ended up doing a great story on that and during the fall of the power of communism. So anyway,
Do you have copies of some of their works
well,
when you do this?
Yeah, we have.
Because I would love to read that.
Well, it was called. One of his favorite projects was the long-running Wednesday's Child feature, which helped place children with big brothers and big sisters, which is, you know, helps the community out 100%.
It would.
But we can certainly find those and get you some of those those copies. Well, Alex S. Jones. I'm sorry, Ron.
What we want to do and what our plans are is for MTSU, and they've committed to putting together a little bit more than just a kiosk, but we're going to have a digitized hall that all of our Hall of Fame members will be able to look at their work. It will be touch screen. You can find out who they are. What instead of just a picture on a plaque on a wall, this will be a living, breathing update with 4 or 5 minutes per each inductee, so that students, as they walk by, can actually stop and then be and promote it through the chambers, so that the Hall of Fame's at Mass Comm and directions there, and the chamber would possibly have in the tourism center much the same in a much more abbreviated manner.
And they plan to incorporate us, the professors of journalism at MTSU, plan to incorporate us and our award winners, what they've achieved, into the curriculum for students to know about firsthand.
Yeah.
And take into account the actual story that man did in Russia that went international and won an international recognition. So it's a good marriage, and we're in the fledgling steps.
Okay. Number three we have, and these are in no particular order, is this Alex S. Jones, who is a Pulitzer Prize-winning author. He's been a radio host on NPR. He's a lecturer. He's currently the director of the Shorenstein Center on Media, Politics, and Public Policy at Harvard's John F. Kennedy School of Government.
Wow.
So, anyway, his family owns the Greenville Sun in Greenville, Tennessee, which is part of the Jones Media Network. And while covering the newspaper industry for the New York Times, Jones' 1987 story on the sale of the Bingham family media empire in Louisville. The story was called The Fall of the House of Bingham. It won the Pulitzer Prize for the specialized reporting. So he's outstanding, and we're just honored that he's coming, and he's bringing so many folks with him deservedly. So Luther Massengill, longest serving radio announcer probably in the world, still working at the same radio station, WDEF. He's complimented by 60 years at WDVF in Chattanooga. He's the only announcer, like Ron said, who broadcast the attack on Pearl Harbor and the 9/11 Twin Towers.
That's amazing. Unbelievable.
So Otis Sanford, longtime editor with the Commercial Appeal, now leads the Helen and J.B. Harden Chair of Excellence in Economics and Managerial Journalism in the Department of Journalism at the University of Memphis. Mississippi native, but he's worked for the Commercial Appeal for numbers of years. He was part of the reporting team that covered the 1977 death of Elvis Presley. You remember that? I remember that.
Have papers on it. still.
Yeah. Rising through the newsroom to become managing editor and editor of opinions and editorials. Okay, Sam Venable.
A real newspaper columnist.
That's right. Venable, a writer for the Knoxville News Sentinel.
Very rare.
And news columnist since 1985. He called me up and he says, Hooper, I'm a little bit late in getting back to you, but I've lost the paper that you sent to me. I've passed it around so much the ink has worn off of it. I'm about his being nominated and being a recipient of this. He's a winner of more than three dozen national and regional writing awards. And he's recently become popular on the stand-up comedia stage. So, Whittle, you might take some notes from him when he gets up to talk there when we come.
He doesn't try to be funny.
Okay, he just is funny, right? But anyway, that's our six this year. And
that's a good bunch.
We've got a great, powerful bunch this time,
yeah,
as we did last year. Mm-hmm. And we're going to continue to make sure that these outstanding journalists are recognized properly, and we will look forward to doing that.
This class has helped the Tennessee Journalism Hall of Fame gain respect and recognition throughout the U.S. media industry,
mm-hmm,
as evidenced by the turnout that we're having next week. Our ceremony starts at 4:30 Tuesday afternoon at the Embassy Suites.
It starts when now?
At 4:30.
This Tuesday afternoon, mm-hmm, you said. Mm-hmm. This coming Tuesday.
Yeah. And we will have...
Would the public be invited to that?
Yes.
Wow. That's going to be something special.
And we will be hosting Murfreesboro, Middle Tennessee, mm-hmm, and the Tennessee Journalism Hall of Fame will be hosting some of the most powerful, most recognized media professionals throughout the United States as a result of this
like
Hall of Fame induction class.
Like you said, as the public invited, after some news accounts of this came out, got a call from somebody here in Murfreesboro. They gave me their names and says, mm-hmm, wanted to know if it was open to the public. And I says, sure. He says, well, me and my wife would like to come.
Mm-hmm.
We know two of the recipients, and we'd like to come and see this award.
They're
real deserving. So words got out, and Dimitri Kaladimos from WSM-TV, Channel 4, will be our MC, and she's just tickled to death to be able to support it. You know, she worked a long time with Dan Miller at Channel 4.
Oh, I remember when she first came to Nashville, she did an interview with me. At the SO, at the old SO.
Well,
I did
a few interviews with her when I was with the Guard a long time ago. So, you know, it's like a family there. We got Ken Paulson's going to be a speaker, Whit Edmondson, and Ron Fryer is going to be able to talk to us a little bit about some things. And then we'll do the awards. We got some.
Is Charlie Morris going to be there?
No.
Oh, okay. We do have a caller on the line, guys.
We do? Okay.
Yeah. Everybody got their ears on? Okay, caller, welcome aboard with Ron, Hoop, and Dan.
Truman, thanks for taking my call. It's a pleasure to hear that Huey and Dewey Louie are still...
Yes, thank you.
Doing very well because I've worried about them. I don't see them as much on TV as I used to. But these three, their persistence and what they're adding... not only to the MTSU campus and the journalism community, but for Murfreesboro and Rutherford County. They're really doing a fine job, and I want to salute them. I think the journalists of yesteryear certainly are the ones who are going to make our upcoming journalists better by looking at what they have done, and letting them show out about this Hall of Fame is really a great addition to our community, and I want to just for the state as a whole, I
want to
congratulate them and thank them.
You've got three red faces that I'm looking at right now.
Our heads are swelled up, I'm telling you. They're just really big. You are a great colonel. I don't care what they say.
Well,
you are.
It's such a great thing to listen and to have you all on the radio where people can get to know you a little bit better. And
sure.
Though some of us fade past the scene, it's great that you're bringing back these folks and recognizing their efforts that have really made our state an outstanding place to live, whether east, middle or west. So well, like I just want to say thank you.
Like I said before, we're playing catch-up, and it takes a long time to get everybody involved. So thank you for your comments, Tom.
Minor brag will be strongly considered next year
as
one of the
past
great leaders.
Keep on doing what you're doing. You're doing great.
Thanks.
Hey, enjoy your retirement, big boy. I think I lost him. He's out fishing already. Oh, bless his heart.
But Minor Bragg owned several weekly newspapers in Middle Tennessee, including the Rutherford Courier, the Cannon Courier. And so the Bragg family has a strong tradition in the newspaper industry in Tennessee.
Why have we had so many groups come in and buying up our newspapers right here in Tennessee when we have so much talent, Ron?
Boy, that's a whole another show. corporate journalism, you know, when they started coming in, newspapers were one of the highest profit margin businesses that you could get into. And corporate journalism has made it now one of the more normal profit margin businesses. I can't find anything good about corporate journalism.
Amen to that.
And it's unfortunate. The care, Dan mentions it quite a bit in some of his columns, and Hooper and I've talked about it, and you and I've talked about it. But, you know, if newspapering were difficult, I couldn't have been in it for 40 years. Okay. What you have to do is listen and listen to what people want, give it to them, and then attempt to tell them what they need to know so they can make up their own minds. It's now more about counting the beans. It's more about the profits, the bottom lines, cutting, slashing, burning. And because the social applications and social media and internet is cheaper than presses and brick and mortar and people, is why you're seeing it go that way.
Do you have the time to do what you need to do anymore? Because everything is so fast-paced, you're jumping from one thing to another.
No. You're basically very overwhelmed now. You know, to me, it's always like it was a lot easier to run a daily newspaper than it is to run a weekly newspaper. Because in a weekly newspaper, you're wearing many more hats than what you were, where you could delegate and have departments and so forth to do. So when we were at the News Journal, for example, back in the 90s and early 2000s, before the Evil Empire got it, employed 128 people and had 70 carriers. And I thought we built it into a very, very, very good newspaper.
And the profit margin was there.
It was a respected newspaper.
Yeah. And you know, a lot of it, I think, is the more we think people are becoming more intelligent with more applications and quicker expediency to pick up what's happening right now, I think that's in some extent the common sense approach and the intelligence level has diminished. I'm very passionate about the subject. I'm very blunt about the subject. I don't mean to offend anybody, but the truth is the truth.
Yeah, the product has not been put out, and on a daily basis, I have heard so many people in this community say that they wish. And I've said this 1,000 times, I wish the Murfreesboro Post would go to a daily newspaper, because there is something special when you go out in your driveway every morning and you get ready to start your day, that is how you begin your day.
Right.
And you like to be informed about what's going on. And in many ways, it's entertaining also.
That's right. That's right. I mean, I can go online, let's say 10 o'clock Tuesday night, and read what's going to be on the front page of a Metro paper the next morning.
Yeah,
I don't need that. I want local I want local. I want what's happening around me. I want refrigerator journalism. I want kids in the ballparks. I want kids in plays at school. I want to know what the venue is for entertainment that's coming up. What's happened? You know, newspapers have changed to an extent in that they are the chroniclers of history. They're not the immediacy of breaking news. They are the chroniclers of history. And you archive it so you can go back and look at it. And still, even with the internet and the social apps, most of where the news comes from still comes from journalists, reporters for newspapers that are posting. I don't care what somebody tweeted out this morning or what they put on their Rice Krispies. I don't care what athlete has to say about another athlete that comes back 45 minutes later, takes it down and apologizes for it. There has to be a legitimacy, I guess. Roots.
Okay, we want to let you know that this part of the show is brought to you by Premier 6, our Princess Theater, right at Jackson Heights. And showing this week, Into the Storm, PG-13. I think I'm going to see that today. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, rated PG-13. They kind of remind me of Dan a little bit. Guardians of the Galaxy, Green. PG-13. Lucy, rated R. Hercules, rated PG-13. The Purge, Anarchy, rated R. Planes, Fire, and Rescue, rated PG. I've seen all of these movies, enjoyed every one of them. The only two I haven't seen are the first two that are going, starting today, actually. And that's Into the Storm and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. You can check GoSeeAMovie.com or call 896-4100 for their movie hotline for times and ticket prices.
Do you need a dependable car but don't have a lot of money to put down? For a limited time, Easy Auto in Murfreesboro is having a down payment reduction sale. Easy Auto is known as the home of the small down payment. And now our down payments are even smaller. Our in-house financing is quick and easy, so you could be driving away in less than an hour. Easy Auto wants to help you rebuild your credit, so we report customers' payments to the major credit bureaus. Easy Auto has been helping people with credit challenges since 1991. Easy Auto guarantees a clean title, and every vehicle has a free Carfax or auto check report. So now is a great time to come to the down payment reduction sale, happening now at the newest Easy Auto, 2006 South Church Street in Murfreesboro.
Or WGNS, Murfreesboro. It's 10 o'clock. Now, from the voice of Rutherford County, local news, fast, first, now.
Your 2014 Atlanta Braves are off and running and looking to start the season strong.
Kimbrel is ready, and a 3-2 pitch.
Swing and a miss, strike three. He gassed him upstairs.
Don't miss a single pitch of a huge 2014 season right here.
Fly ball to left field. Did he get enough? He's at the wall. This one is over. Justin Upton has done it again.
WGNS, your exclusive home of the Braves since 1981.
This summer, when you find yourself at the store buying an ice-cold, refreshing soft drink, consider something hot, like a Fire and Dice instant game from the Tennessee Lottery. Or when you need that big bag of ice, try a scorching hot cash ticket. And when you just gotta have that ice cream sandwich, pick up a heat wave ticket. Hot new instant games, cold hard cash, only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Yeah!
Hey, did you just throw away a Tennessee Lottery ticket?
Yeah, wasn't a winner.
Would you throw a brand new TV in the trash?
Of course not. Our TV's terrible.
Haven't you heard of the Tennessee Lottery's VIP Player Suite? You can redeem tickets for VIP points that get you cool things, like TVs.
Really?
I could be watching a new TV right now.
Instead, you're watching what I throw in the trash.
Don't trash your chance at the things you love. Now instant and drawing-style tickets get you closer to a reward in the VIP Player Suite. Visit TNLottery.com for more info. The Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun.
Eric Cable at United Grocery Outlet.
We offer some great everyday values. That's kind of our unique position in the grocery business. We're an outlet grocery store.
Stop by United Grocery Outlet today for big savings.
We have a full line produce department, a full line of fresh meats, and then we have some just tremendous everyday values that are in our grocery, our frozen, and our dairy department.
United Grocery Outlet at the intersection of South Church and Broad.
We take you to the local games. We're WGNS, FM 100.5, FM 101.9, and AM 1450. The Truman Show on FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. We're Rutherford County's place to talk.
And welcome back. We want to let you know that this part of this fiasco is brought to you by Metal Max Roofing and Siding, located at 900 Captain Joe Fulcham Drive, just off Middle Tennessee Boulevard, right here in Murfreesboro. Steel is unique material that can be recycled, conserving energy and natural resources. Steel is also an excellent cost-effective alternative to asphalt shingle roofs. Metal roofs are not only beautiful, resistant to wind damage and roof rust, but some are less expensive than asphalt shingles. They offer factory direct pricing so you can buy your roofing and siding materials straight from the manufacturer without the middleman. Go by and see their friendly staff today and let them show you over 20 different colors of Metal Max roofing and siding. Give them a call today at 494-1693, 494-1693. Pull them up on the website, www.metalmaxllc.com.
Fiasco, F-I-A-S-C-O,
very
fiasco.
Very good.
Go ahead.
You know, Dan has always kind of been rooted in that he stays constant. He is one of these people with integrity and all of those other things that go with it. Ron, I remember an election one time, and you guys were pulling for the Democratic candidates. Is that correct? Or how did that work?
We're playing with the volume control.
Would you repeat that? I could.
Fiasco. F-I-A-S-C-O.
We just had an election, and things change from the election day to the day after.
Right, right.
Who you support.
Yeah. I remember, I think what you're getting at was, 20 years ago. 1994, is that about right? Is that 20 years ago?
I think so.
It was November after the Newt Gingrich and the Republican sweep mm-hmm. of the Congress and all this, and I was sitting in the office, and of course the number one Democrat at the News Journal at that time was Dan Whittle.
Yeah. He's still extremely so.
And I think at that time he was a member of the Christian Church. Mm-hmm. Today he's gone through three or four churches, so I don't know.
Been kicked out of some of the finest churches in America.
But nonetheless, he walked in the office with that duck waddle he does, and I looked at him and I said, "Well, Danny, we kind of took it on the chin last night, didn't we?" And he says, "What's this wee stuff?" He had already switched.
That's close
to,
enough.
Yeah, he had already switched to the Republican Party, and. So that worked out, as a lot of people have since 1994. So,
have they ever? That's right.
Is there a Republican Party, or is there a Republican Tea Party? How is that? I'm confused at the whole thing.
It's all mixed.
I think it's kind of like religion.
I think they don't know where it is either. Really, uh-huh.
It's like religion and currency. Mm-hmm. It all basically is about the same, but there's just different denominations.
Oh, okay. I see.
So
they have the same values and views, but they don't have the same values and views.
Well,
so it's pretty constant.
I think they have the same values and views, but they have differing opinions mm-hmm. of those values and views. And that's across the entire political spectrum. It's fascinating to look at the record of Lamar Alexander, for example,
right.
and then Joe Carr and what they're doing, mm-hmm. and they're both Republicans, and you would think that they were 180 degrees opposed
right.
to each other.
Part.
And I look at Lamar's conservative record and mm-hmm. listen to Fred Thompson and McWhorter and some of the others from all the different parties congratulate him and pat him on the back for what all he's done. And I see his conservative views now mm-hmm. As paralleling what I've always felt like were my conservative views mm-hmm. and moderate views, but he's too liberal for conservatives. Does that make sense?
What makes sense to me is the most powerful word in politics right now is conservative.
Yeah.
There's nothing close to it.
No.
But the confusing thing to me is it doesn't say anything. Because if a person comes up to me and says, I'm conservative, all right, first thing I want to know is, what are the issues that you're conservative on?
Right.
Nobody's
yeah.
completely conservative across yeah. the board.
That's right. It's issue by issue by
yeah.
issue.
That's why I don't understand why the people don't ask for those issues.
Hooper will tell you in Eastern Europe, as he's been to the Ukraine and around Russia and so forth, if you're a conservative there, you're communist.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah.
So how can communist socialist be conservative?
I was going to say, yeah, how could conservative in the United States be a socialist?
Well, I think
that's what I'm saying. There are so many issues that are involved when you're saying I'm a conservative or I'm a liberal. You need to pinpoint what those particular issues are, and nobody asks the questions.
The label is out there, and
not sure if they could answer
them. The people need to just get to the point and ask them, mm-hmm. what are you conservative on? Tell us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Republicans accuse the Democrats of being liberals. Because they're too liberal, they lack a lot of spending programs. Most of those spending programs go to help the unfortunate, however, like it's been since the Roosevelt days.
Mm-hmm.
But still, there's a lot of conservatives on the Democratic side, too. They just don't push the conservatism like the Republicans do.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway...
That's right. You can't pigeonhole.
You can't.
You cannot pigeonhole.
I mean... I'm conservative to the extent I don't want a tattoo.
Right.
But how many conservatives have tattoos?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know either.
Today's world, it seems like there's a ton of them.
Yeah. You know, I think it was, what was his name? He was Secretary of Defense for Nixon. He had the tattoo of the Princeton Tiger on his right cheek.
I can see his hair has come straight back. I cannot bring his name. McNamara. Yeah.
McNamara.
Yeah. Good job.
Interesting.
Yeah. We need about a 5-hour show.
We do.
I'd like to bring in every candidate that's run for an office and sit and go over the issues that are concerned with them and how they stand on them.
That's right.
And I'll guarantee you, many of those conservatives would be taking liberal viewpoints on some issues.
Sure.
And you cannot completely say that I'm a conservative or I'm a liberal.
Yeah.
You just have to have a person who has the ability to go over each and every one of the issues and make good judgments.
I think without a shadow of a doubt, it's time that partisanship dies and statesmanship comes back into vote.
Amen to that. I love that word, statesmanship.
And I'm a Baptist.
And we will have to leave on that note. And we'll see you guys Monday morning at 9 o'clock, unless you're going to Parsley's today, and we'll be there in
Thanks, Truman, for letting us come talk about the Journalism Hall of Fame.
And I appreciate you guys doing that. I think it's the awards are well-deserved.
Appreciate it.
And I'm glad we got people like you looking after it.
All right.